Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Canadian PodCow. My name's Andrew Campbell, and I'm very happy to be here in Ottawa on location at the Dairy Farmers of Canada's annual policy conference, along with my friend, co-host, and fellow dairy farmer just on the West Coast, Sarah Sash.
Yeah, it's chilly here, man.
Don't you love Ontario in the wintertime compared to British Columbia where you never see snow?
We talk about weather a lot. I thought there was holes in my toque. I walked uptown to like look at the ice sculptures and I'm like, is there something wrong? Is something sticking out?
Well, it is actually one of those things that we've been here before. It hasn't always been quite this fresh, we'll call it. There has been a lot of skating on the Rideau Canal because minus 20 degrees makes it very accessible for skating.
This is true, but it's also been great indoors where there's tons to learn about, tons to talk about, all kinds of industry things happening, bringing together not just producers, but also experts in the industry, policymakers, sector representatives, and we're all talking about issues and the future prospects for Canada's dairy market.
Well, and it's one of those big topics that has been happening here today is that with economic challenges, we've got threats of tariffs, we've got ever-changing consumer demand. This conference really does give some great opportunities to gain insight into upcoming trends, strategies, and what we need to do as an industry to have a secure future.
And that's right what we'll be talking about in this episode right after the break.
First, let's welcome Julia Trottier, analyst of policy and trade at DFC. Julia holds a Master of Science in Food, Agriculture, and Resource Economics from the University of Guelph. Before joining Dairy Farmers of Canada, she worked for Ontario Pork, assisting with their animal care programs. She has been an analyst with DFC for nearly 3 years, mainly working on files related to pricing and trade. Julia, welcome to the Canadian PodCow.
Thank you.
So, Julia, you started today's presentation off with a big picture, so that's where we're going to start, too, in terms of you had the slide that kind of highlighted in, number of farms, farm gate sales, just where the industry is today. Can you bring that snapshot to our listeners today?
Yes. So in 2024, Canada had 9,256 dairy farms with an average herd size of 105 cows per farm. We also know that the Canadian population has been increasing. It's currently up 3% compared to last year. So with this population increase, there has been higher demand for dairy products, and this has helped increase production, up 1.5% from last year. At the same time, farm cash receipts are up 3.9%, and the average revenue per hectoliter of milk is $101.08.
So you showed a lot of performance indicators for the dairy industry. We were able to see, you know, in terms of income, in terms of production, average income per hectoliter, et cetera, that we're growing. But you also showed some interesting slides regarding farm numbers in Canada, and you contrasted that with the U.S. I thought it was pretty interesting that the farm numbers line for Canada, while it's going down, is somewhat level compared to our neighbors. Can you speak to that?
Yes, so we do have some level of consolidation in dairy farming, but that is normal to see, and we see it in many industries. But compared to the U.S., the rate of consolidation in Canada has been slower. Since 2014, the annual compound growth rate has been minus 5.8% in the U.S. versus minus 2.6% in Canada. So this is showing relative stability compared to the U.S. in the dairy sector.
One of the other subjects you brought up was around inflation, because inflation has been on consumers' mind for the last several years. Can you talk a little bit about where the dairy aisle fits in terms of food inflation and how price increases that we've seen have compared to other food products consumers are buying?
Yeah, so the consumer price index for dairy products was 3% in December 2024. Compared to the same period a year ago. So this is above some products like chicken and bakery products, but below others like eggs, vegetables, and pork, kind of falling somewhat in the middle. Meanwhile, the overall food CPI was lower at 0.6%, but this is largely due to the temporary two-month tax break, which is reducing the prices at restaurants and also alcohol beverage purchase from stores.
where do you think we're heading for 2025?
Great. So looking ahead, there was a slight decrease in the farm level milk price on February 1st, but this is separate from retail pricing. We don't anticipate major shift in dairy prices at the retail level. The general trend in the food price growth over the past few periods is that the price growth has been decelerating. So this is what we would expect to see. But there are many other factors along the supply chain that would influence pricing that it would be beyond our control.
So how does that pricing shape up when we compare ourselves to other countries in terms of retail price? What do they look like at the shelf for dairy products?
Yeah, so compared to other countries, the retail milk price is higher compared to most countries from what we can see. Across our sources, we see lower milk prices in the US, Mexico, New Zealand, to name a few, and higher milk prices in countries such as Switzerland and China. There are also other sources for the comparison against cheese prices in other countries, but we don't have a consensus as there are differing results in different sources. For butter, across all the sources, the Canadian price is lower than the median compared to the US, the UK, and France as examples. So the Canadian butter price is much lower in that for those products.
So just to get this right, so it is a case of fluid milk, we're a little higher than the U.S. and some other countries. Butter, we're actually cheaper than the U.S. and cheese is kind of even-ish. Does that sound about right?
Yes, that's correct. It's some sources show the cheese price higher. Some sources show the cheese price lower in Canada. So it depends on the source you're looking at. Part of what varies is the cheese type and the amount as well. So we don't have a definitive answer on that, but we can see based on how close they are going back and forth from sources, they're probably fairly similar.
Well, that's very interesting, Julia. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us on the Canadian PodCow. Thank you.
We have to take a break for a message from our sponsor. Upon returning, we'll continue to look at what's coming for the Canadian dairy market in 2025. Stay tuned.
As Canadian dairy farmers, we follow ProAction, Dairy Farmers of Canada's national quality assurance program with 6 modules. Modules like milk quality, that stands for high standards of milk production, or food safety, producing milk that meets 42 requirements, and animal care, that means caring for every cow. ProAction sets standards of excellence. That's what's behind the blue cow logo. Dairy Farmers of Canada.
We're now fortunate to bring back Maxime Collette, lead policy analyst for Dairy Farmers of Canada and responsible for market analysis at DFC. I think we've interviewed you before, Maxime, but welcome back.
Thank you for having me. Yes, indeed, last year I had an interview with you.
Last ABC, it's a new annual tradition we've got. If you didn't listen to the last episode, you won't know that Maxime studied ag economics at Laval University in Quebec City, where he earned a bachelor's and a master's degree. He also holds a diploma in animal production from the Institute of Agri-Food Technology, which I bet from the Ag Economics School in Laval, having the animal production diploma was a unique asset in that. So, Maxime, it's great to have you here.
So when we look at the Canadian dairy industry and the market as a whole, what are the products that really stand out for us, Maxime?
That's a good question. When we look at the consumption and for the different category of dairy product, we see that they are all increasing. And this is explained by the fact that the population growth, which is like a significant rate, and Julia presented that in our presentation, the growth of 3% haven't been seen since in the 90s. So this is really uncommon, but this contributed to increase the different type of dairy product. And the one that have increased the most is refrigerated yogurt at near 4%.
Now, in terms of consumption habits, I thought you gave a really great picture, that I haven't necessarily seen before in terms of like consumption trends that was also tied to, as you said, we've got a lot of people coming into the country. Where are they coming from? What types of things are they consuming? All of these types of things. Can you give me a bit of an idea in terms of the demographics as they change in Canada, how that's impacting dairy?
Yeah, exactly. People, the Canadian population is changing. There is immigration that contributes to the population growth. And so we see that the average Canadian in 2024, 2025 is not the same as in the 90s. Lots of immigrants were born in Asia. Asia, it's an important region. And when we look at the Asian population in Canada, so the Asian Canadian, they don't consume the same in terms of average consumption of dairy products versus the non-Asian Canadian. So they are more plant-based beverages consumer or dairy substitute. Culturally, it's their level is higher for substitute of dairy products. So knowing that their share is increasing, their weight, the demographic weight of Asian Canadian is increasing, knowing that they are a good consumer of substitute of dairy product, it had pressure on the average of the consumption per capita for dairy products. So there is an erosion effect here observed because of the change in the population demographic.
So immigration is a huge factor for sure. Are there other like demographics specifically that are changing their habits a whole bunch? We've just talked about how I'm an elder millennial. What about those more senior than me when it comes to what they're partaking of in the market in the dairy sector?
Yeah, age is another variable that we were lucky to get in our data. And we see that younger adult compared to older adult, they don't consume the same way. So on average, younger adult, they consume more plant-based beverages and tofu and dairy substitute than compared to older adult. And older adult, they have a higher level of consumption for dairy products. However, we expect younger adults to increase as they are aging, to increase their consumption for cream, natural cheese, butter, and eggs. So there are some products that when the population is aging or when a consumer is aging, they tend to increase their level through their aging. While in the opposite, like for milk as an example, we don't expect younger adult consuming the same level as older adult or when they're going to be at the same age as their parents, as an example. From a generation to another, the level is decreasing and we expect it stay the same.
And while Sarah may be an elder millennial, obviously I'm so much younger. So it's kind of interesting to hear that as younger people do age, how their eating habits change. Is part of that because you also talked a little bit about how household income impacts consumption trends. Do those kind of go hand in hand? Like, is it kind of as they have more money when they're older, they buy some of these things, or is it an age thing, or what's the relationship between age and income?
That's interesting because some product, when we see that there is an increase in age, it is really linked as well to the increase in income. So that can be those can be together. Education, as an example, can be related to the income as well. So it depends. For some product, we see an increase when the population is aging, but we don't see an increase when the income is increasing. So it really depends from a product to another.
So then what, in terms of the income side, what are some of those habits like in terms of what they prefer or not based on how much they're making?
So on the income side, we observe the level of consumption for higher income household, and their level were higher for refrigerated yogurt, natural cheese, plant-based beverages, and substitute of dairy product. And this is compared with lower income households. So on the lower income household side, their level of consumption of milk, ice cream, processed cheese, margarine were higher compared to higher income households. So it really depends in terms of product. So that change in revenue or income, it will influence positively some dairy products, but negatively other dairy products.
So just to wrap it up, Maxim, what should we remember when we're looking at the long-term trend? What's the takeaway about the dairy market outlook?
The takeaway, I would say that when we look at the StatCan data in terms of per capita consumption of dairy product, we see an erosion of the average level per capita. However, as I said at the beginning, there is an increase in total consumption of dairy product driven by the population growth. So as long as the population is growing, likely the market will grow in the consumption of the production. It's going to be really difficult in the years that we'll see like a stable population. We will feel more the decline in the per capita consumption in those years. So, but as long as the population is growing, likely the consumption and the production will be growing in the future.
Do you have any kind of insight then as to how we could do that in terms of reversing that trend of per capita consumption? What's the best way forward so that, yeah, it's great that we are producing and selling more milk, but man, would it be ever be great to be producing and selling more per capita as well.
Yeah, I think we need to adjust. We need to continue to work on the different dairy product. Milk, there is an erosion. What should we do in terms of strategy to slow down the erosion? And then for the other products that increase, we should try to further increase those products in order to like break the decline and then be positive again. And we need to understand better our consumer, the average Canadian, and the different ethnic groups within Canada in order to fulfill the demand or needs in terms of dairy products. I was talking about the ghee butter in the presentation. That is a product that is growing, and it's really a product that is important for the Asian Canadians. So if we can continue to understand their needs and bring those different type of products or a wider portfolio of dairy products, that will help at the end to stimulate further the consumption per capita.
Thank you very much, Maxime Collette, for sharing your expertise and analysis on the future of the dairy market in Canada. We know you love the podcast, so this will not be the last time we have you on. And we'll look forward to connecting again about trends in the industry beyond 2025.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
So we see that over the past three decades, demographic and generational changes in Canada have contributed to an erosion of per capita milk consumption, but total dairy consumption in Canada has continued to increase.
You know, well, and you know, when we finished up with Maxime talking about the possibilities and how do we reverse that downward trend of consumption per capita, I think definitely is one of those things that is going to help all of us in the dairy sector.
It's up to us to adapt to demand and changes in the market.
So on that note, we're out of time. This podcast is made possible by our production team, Bruce Sargent and Carl Bellanger. We also thank our sponsor, the Dairy Farmers of Canada. And of course, our guests today were Julia Trottier and Maxime Collette from the Dairy Farmers of Canada.
Our old episodes, former episodes, other episodes you might enjoy are available on the best online listening platforms and on our website at canadianpodcow.ca. If you have any comments, come see us on social networks, Facebook, X, or Blue Sky.
Thanks to all of you. We'll see you soon for another episode of the Canadian Podcast.